We're unwrapping our jiu-jitsu year in an unconventional way and inviting you to do the same. We're going to celebrate some wins, but we're also reflecting on things that often get overlooked in a typical year-end review. Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, the podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm Jen Eads, a purple belt full of curiosity and questions.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
I think this is going to be a fun way to kind of unwrap our year, inspired by the Spotify Wrapped. And what I like is this is not a goal-setting episode. If you've listened to our past episodes around this time of year, it feels like we talk about goals a lot, and I'm just always like, womp, womp, goals. So this is not that. But we are going to take a look back at how we showed up, how we were supported, and what we want to carry forward into the new year. Which that excites me.
Good, good. I also think that it's helpful to look back at what happened this past year in order to set goals for next year. So I'm not tricking you into like a future episode of goal setting, but
right.
I do think it's important to like take a look back and take stock in what happened too.
I think so too, because it feels like, at least in my experience, that my jiu-jitsu progress is never linear. And sometimes maybe we don't notice when we're actually getting better. I know you and I have had conversations after class and you ask me how it went. And I'm like, nah, 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 didn't do this, didn't do that, blah, blah, blah. And you have a completely different perspective. There were actually some good things that did happen. I just was unaware of them.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be like, that's the best you've ever rolled. Like, such a good job. And you're like, what?
Funny, it didn't feel that way to me.
That's how it is sometimes.
Well, you know. But I do want to start with a little reflection. What do you think worked well for you this year? Like, what were some highlights and things that you want to take forward?
Well, highlights and things I want to take forward. This is from the more like owner perspective than just my jiu-jitsu, right? But some of the things that we did to onboard new students or bring in new students, stuff like that, that's definitely something that I think made a big difference this year. And I think that's good for the whole gym because it like brings in, you know, more white belts, and that's a good healthy gym.
We love white belts.
We do. So I definitely want to do more of that kind of thing. Just some of the things we kind of like changed up with that, and some of the goal setting we did with that was really good this year. As far as my jiu-jitsu goes, I really got back into no-gi a little bit more this year. And I'll definitely be carrying that into at least the first quarter of next year because I have a couple of no-gi competitions. Which, you know, like I haven't competed no-gi since 2017. So wow. I really didn't have a no-gi game plan at all. Like figuring out what my takedown is and what my submissions are, like all of that. It was good for me to get back into, you know, a little bit of like that newness.
I have a question for you that I don't think we've asked before. And this was actually inspired by another podcast I listened to. It's from the Staying Solo podcast by Maggie Patterson. And one of the things that she said is delight is data. And I was like, isn't that nice? Like, that's not something that I normally take into consideration, whether I'm thinking about my business or jiu-jitsu. But what delighted you about jiu-jitsu this year?
I mean, for me, it's always the community. You know, like, I know that there should be something that delighted me in my training, but it really is. It's the community. It's, you know, how much everybody stepped up and helped at camp this year after, you know, Risser had to have surgery and stuff. Like, it's been the community. I know it's not a surprise, but that's the truth of it.
And that's fine. I am not surprised by that at all. I would actually be surprised if you didn't say something that was community related.
That's the reality of it, though. It really is. You know, community is what keeps us going when it gets hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? What delighted you?
Getting my purple belt was delightful.
Of course.
But just it does come back to community, I think. Just the people that I get to spend time with. I have delightful teammates.
Yes.
They're a joy to be around, even, you know, when they're armbarring me or choking me. It feels like there's just a lot of joy in our rounds, which kind of maybe sounds weird for jiu-jitsu, but it just feels joyful most of the time, unless I'm just really getting smashed and while having a hot flash. And then there's really, I'm struggling to find the delight in that. But maybe 2026 is my year.
Also, I find a lot of joy in competition prep, both if I'm prepping or if just the team is prepping. There's just like a camaraderie that happens then. Okay, that's community again, but you get it. But you know, we did our first competition camp this year as far as like a weekend camp. Everybody that did it, I was worried that I murdered them, you know, like that they were like, I hated this. But everyone has said that's been their favorite intensive. And it was hard work. Like it was a lot of stuff, but they did such a good job. And that led us into competition camp for pans, for gi pans. And I just love the community around like a all of us like working hard and getting ready together. And there's just something very special about that.
Where did you honor your capacity this year? I think it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in, well, I did this or I didn't do that. And so much of it is like our ability to actually do the things that we say we want to do is dictated by our capacity to actually do them.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing this podcast from my bed right now.
Yeah, we're both sick right now.
So we're both taking time off the mat while we get better. And we don't have the same sickness. We didn't give it to each other. So
no.
It's not something like, you know, going around the gym or anything. We just both got sick. So, but I think that is part of like honoring it, like listening to my body. And actually I have a quick story to tell about someone else honoring themselves. So, you know, like I said, we've got a bunch of new students and one guy, great guy. And pretty decent. Like he used to fight. So he's like big, strong, and has some technique behind it, but also is a white belt. So he asked someone to roll that I had told that person, like, I don't think you should be rolling with him. Like he isn't safe enough for you yet. And they were basically like, from their previous experiences, they were like, don't you feel like I should be proving myself that I can do this? And my response came with an explicative, which, you know, I don't say much. But I was like, absolutely not. I do not feel like you need to prove yourself. What is more important to me is that you set boundaries and honor your body and listen to your body and like know that like that's not a good partner for you. And I was like, even if you were a black belt, I wouldn't expect you to roll with this person. Like now, if that guy was a purple belt, sure. I'm not worried about him being bigger and stronger. I'm worried about him being a safe partner. So that was a really important moment for me of like, that's capacity too, right? Like honoring your body and knowing what is safe for you and what's okay. And you don't have to prove anything.
Yeah, I think we forget about that sometimes.
Yeah.
What drained you this year?
As far as my autoimmune stuff goes, it's getting better. I have a new doctor. I have some different medications. Like all that's getting better. But going through perimenopause is for the birds.
Yeah, that is no joke.
That has, you know, that has drained me. Like I definitely find that I don't have as much energy. And, you know, of course, I'm not sleeping well. I have hot flashes, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I feel like that has definitely drained me. How about you?
Ditto on all of that. And because I've had the best year in my business this year, it's been more to manage. You know, I've had to cut back on some training or miss some days that I would normally be there and just trying to not feel guilty about it. Yeah. And that kind of stuff it's been a great challenge to get to overcome this year.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good problem, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I was able to show up every day, that would be a different kind of challenge.
So do you have like a, I wouldn't want to say goal because I know you hate that. But like an expectation of I will at least do this, or like if I don't make it on the mat all week, instead I'll do this or anything like that?
My goal typically is to be on the mat 3 days a week. So either that's 3 days of class or 2 days of class and an open mat. On days that I don't make it in, that I've planned to go in, life, whatever happens and I don't make it in, then my intention is to get out and exercise, you know, walk the dog, walk a couple miles, do something to move my body. But it has been so cold here the past week. I'm just like, nope. That plus not feeling well. But yeah, I do try to have some kind of plan to do something for the days that I had planned to go to class and it didn't happen.
Yeah. I think that, like, if you can do something active and then also, you know, like if you can watch back some of your videos from class or something like that, if you want that mind part of the jujitsu in there as well.
Right. What do you want to continue? So if we think about that 80-20 rule, I think it's called the Pareto principle or something like that. And 80% of your results come from like 20% of X, whatever that is. What's your 20% that you want to focus on for 2026? What's going to move you forward?
That's hard. I hadn't thought about this. How about you? What's that 20% for you?
It's always those little things, like the fundamental things. I feel best coming out of class where we've done Q&A or even after open mats where I've been able to just work on something specific, even if I feel like I sucked at it.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. I've discovered over the course of this last year that it's not the getting beaten up that bothers me. It's the I got beat up and didn't walk away with something. I don't mind getting beat up if I've got something then to work on or something to fix that feels very concrete. It's like, oh, now I know we've identified the problem. There's a plan to move forward. And I feel pretty okay when I have that. If it's just, you know, three rounds of just rolling and feeling like I got beat up, but not really being present and trying to figure out what happened. So whether that is taking video with my phone or recently we had the opportunity that we just did rounds and you watched them and then we did like Q&A right after. Those are always the most helpful, I think, for me because it just goes back and fix the fundamentals that I'm missing. And it's never some major thing. It's just like a minor tweak.
Yeah, I like that. Not from the standpoint of something like to be more successful on, but maybe something that I don't do enough of is maybe I'll just focus on playing a little more legs in the next year. So I don't really, I mean, Risser and I do when we roll together, but for the most part, I don't attack people's legs much in class. So
yeah.
Get ready. Maybe that'll be what I focus on in 2026.
I've been warned.
So in 2025, one of the biggest mile markers for you was getting your purple belt.
That was big.
How did that make you feel? Like, do you feel any more pressure? Do you feel less pressure? What's that feel like?
I just feel steady.
Okay.
Because I think going into it, I was like, you know, I can stay at four stripe blue for a while. I never felt like I was chasing it.
Yeah.
It was like, it'll come when it comes. And I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's the perimenopause. But it just feels, or because I feel like there are other things in life that are going well that I don't have as much, what's the word I'm looking for? Like importance attached to my jujitsu performance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not attaching my value
right
to that as much as I think maybe I have in the past.
Yeah.
And I think just being steady with, you know, I'm going to train when I can. I'm going to be more intentional and focused when I show up so that I'm getting the most out of it. And whatever happens, happens. I mean, I could be a purple belt for a very long time and be happy because purple's such a pretty color. It's one of my favorites. So
it is. Most people say that purple is the best belt.
But I don't feel any additional pressure, like that I've got anything to prove.
Good. One thing that I've been talking to several people about lately is just the aspect of, like, you know, if you play basketball, there are games frequently, right? If you play football, there are games frequently, baseball, whatever. But all of those competitions we just call games, and we put so much pressure on ourselves for, you know, I've got to fight this weekend. It's like a competition, you know, like it really, I think, gets to us mentally. So something I've been focusing on a lot is just like, I'm playing a game. That's all jujitsu is. Like, it's just a game. Like, I'm going out, I'm competing in January, I'm competing in March. Like, it's just a game. It doesn't have to be that much pressure. It's not a fight. It's just fun.
Yeah, that feels like a much better way to reframe that. I think because it feels like competitions are kind of few and far between. Whereas, like, I remember playing basketball in high school and there were games every week. And it's like you did the thing and then you just got past it and on to the next one. But yeah, I think just framing it is more fun because for most of us, it's not like how we're making our living. Let's wrap this up with talking about the podcast Unwrapped that Spotify sent out that kind of inspired this episode, because it all comes back to community. Oh, one other stat that I looked up. So I'm going to tell you the number and you're going to guess what it is. That number is 14. What do you think that is?
How many people we were the number one podcast for?
No. It's the number of times we mentioned Rachel Casillas. Well, that's only in the episodes that you and I co-hosted. It didn't take into account the ones with Risser because I didn't have the transcript for that. But yes, throughout the year, 14 times, which actually that's lower than what I had anticipated.
Yeah, same.
So there's the first stat. This will be our 26th episode of the year. So we nailed it on consistency. So I'm very proud of us for that.
Good.
Speaking of Rachel Casillas, our most listened to episode was episode 214 with Rachel Casillas on how to build a commanding presence on and off the mat. So friends, if you missed that one, go back and listen to it as soon as you're done with this episode. We have listeners in 40 countries.
Ooh.
And we were the top 10 show for 233 listeners. And we were the number one show for 34.
Nice.
So friends, thank you for all the listens and the shares and the comments. And Taylor Swift was the number one artist listened to by most of our listeners.
I feel not surprised.
Not surprised one bit at all. You know, we want to hear what your wins were for this year. What are you reflecting on? What do you want more of in 2026? Send us a DM, comment on the episode, because you are the community and we want to hear from you. All right, friends, thanks for tuning in. Remember, DM us on Instagram at Beauty and the Gi Podcast. That's where we're hanging out. I'm also on Instagram at Brassy Broad Jen and on the TikTok at Brassy Broad Jen.
And I'm AJ Klingerman, everywhere you go.
And we will see you on the mat. Beauty and the Gi is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling.
Yay!
We managed.